get your Bibles, go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5. I am tonight, recently, I've been wanting to do this actually for a while. Normally in February, I try to take February and I try to do something on the home or something like that, since it's Valentine's, you know, month and stuff like that. We didn't do that this year. And I've been wanting to do something on it, but not just to do something, you know, the routine over and over again, stuff like that. I'll be talking to you some tonight. I used to think, matter of fact, I heard Brother Ralph make a statement. He said, I don't see a problem. He said, we think we have to have a verse to start the service and all these references. And certainly I want verses and I want references. But sometimes he said, I just want to sit down and talk to the people. He said, Paul did. He said, and I see that. I understand that. Sometimes there's issues in the church, needs, situations, and you want to talk to them. Now, we're going to be talking about marriage tonight. And I know some of you, maybe that, you say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I can go to sleep now. But I believe there'll be enough truth in it. And I pray that everyone will be able to glean something out of it. And that'll be helpful for you. Because in reality, truths that unite in relationship, unite a husband and wife, they go long and far into many, 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 many relationships. Matter of fact, virtually every relationship on the face of this earth is based on this idea. It's not about what I get from the other person, it's about what I give. Now, that's a truth that goes through any kind of relationship. And so I want to talk about it tonight. And my wife and I were recently talking. And I asked her, I said, give me five things. And no, she didn't write the message. And, you know, and so it was all, so we're going to get her five things. No. But I said, if you were to list, these are five issues in a marriage, what would you list? And she gave me five things. And honestly, we have discussed this before. We have been married now 43 years this come June. And anybody ever get nervous when you put it out there and you're thinking you have that mind blank that takes place, right? 43 years this coming June we've been married, and it has, and I don't mean this in a funny way, it's going to sound that way, I don't mean it, but it's been a learning experience. But I think marriage is a learning experience. Whoever thought that two people, when he said the twain become one, well, whoever thought that you'd be the same after you got married? Whoever thought that? There's something that happens. What God hath joined together, he said, and you become something separate and new. And so I want to talk to you tonight simply about the title of marriage. If you look in Ephesians 5, these are some familiar verses, and we're not going to stay here on it, honestly. But I am going to give you one. I am going to give you, one. I don't even know how many I've got. I'm going to give you one, two. Let's see if else I've got here. Let's see how long it's going to be. Three, four, five, six. Seven. No. The five is what I've got. I'm going to give you five of what I believe. I'm not going to say it's exhaustive, but it will go a long way in helping you. If there's one thing that my wife and I have done when we've been here, we first came here, we spent much of our time in counseling. And I will tell you this, a whole lot of counseling can take, if you just come to church and heed what comes across the pulpit, you'll be better, your marriage will be better for it, honestly. But we spend a lot of time in marriages. I will tell you this, whether you've been married a long time or whether you've been married a short time, unless you take seriously what I'm going to say tonight, you say, well, we don't have that problem. If you haven't, you will. And you might be in the problem. And then you might have been in the problem, resolved that you're going to live in the problem. There's all different kinds of groups when it comes to marriage. And this is one of those things where this morning I said, you know, churches have become where it's just cope. We have to cope with things. And I said, now you come back tonight and I'll probably be doing a thing on coping, all right? But I believe that Christians ought to have good marriages. I believe we ought to be an example to the world of what Christ can do, not only in me, but in us. Amen. And so if you would, look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I just read hate speech. No kidding. That would get me thrown out of almost any kind of a community center, any kind of a group, but that's what God said. Then he says in 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, we're familiar with those verses, and there's a lot I could say, but that's not really where we're going to spend the majority of our time. We understand the issue of submission. It's received a bad rap through the years. I do not think the submission is just a wife thing. I think it's a Christian thing. I believe it says the husband's head is his head of the wife, and Christ is head of the husband. And I'm afraid that the husband has a perfect example of a head, but the wife doesn't. And many times the problems we run into in marriage is we run into because the husband's not necessarily being what he ought to be. But it gives instruction to the wife. It gives instruction to the husband. And then it says down in verse 31, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now I want to talk to you for just a second before we get into the five elements that will help your marriage. I want to give you just a thought. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say the wife has to leave mom and dad. It says it nowhere. It says the man has to leave mom and dad, but not the wife. You say, why is that? Because it's done right, the wife wants to leave mom and dad. Once that husband gets the heart, there's a desire to go with that man. "Wilt thou go with this man?" Eliezer said to Rebekah. She said, "I'll go." Amen. I think a lot of times the reason we don't have that, the reason why that the wife becomes clingy with mom and dad is she's not, something is not right in that marriage. I will tell you this also. I believe this all my heart. I believe that we have an issue with men leaving the home. And by the way, I'm not talking about back in Bible days, this caused a man to leave his father and mother. Oftentimes when, like Isaac, when he married, they were still on the homestead. That's not the leaving. It's that there's a change that takes place. When my oldest boy, and that was my struggle because I had to get used to this thing that I've been preaching for so long. And the idea is when a man takes a wife, they come together. They're not an extension of my home. They're not an extension of your home, mom and dad. They've made their own. And it's separate. And that man is the head of it. And the fact is sometimes I think this. I think that in marriages, oftentimes that we haven't handled our marriages properly. We haven't worked in them properly. And at some point in time in that marriage, the wife pours the life into the kids because she is given up on the husband, or given up on the husband changing or whatever. And when the kids begin to grow up and marry, she feels lost because her life has been those kids. And my dear lady, those kids were never intended to be your life. You didn't marry your kids, you married a husband. And sir, you didn't marry your kids, you married a wife. And I believe it to be critical that husbands and wives show the kids what a marriage is. I love my marriage. I love my wife. My oldest boy one time, he started calling after they were married, and he had some questions, and he for whatever, I don't have anything in specific, but I would say, "Well, son," I said, "this is, you're asking my advice, this is my advice," and I'd give the advice. I said, "But when it comes down to make a decision, that's you. That's not me." I said, "I can't make a decision. I know you know that, but whatever you make, I'm not going to be mad because it's your home. You answer to God for your home. You can't dump that on me." And he knew that. We talked, and I said, "Son, I knew that when you took a wife, our world's going to change." He's still my son, but the relationship is different. No longer am I an authority. Now I'm more of a counselor friend. You know what the weird thing is? Is dads spend their time trying to be friends to their kids when they're little when they need a dad. And then when the kids grow up and go crazy, they're trying to be a dad when they should be a friend. We've got the whole thing reversed. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how to make... I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how long. Is heaven calling? Man, I heard the bells of heaven, didn't you? If you didn't hear that, you need to get saved. I thought it was almost ready, brother. I thought we were going. Whew. Yeah. Okay. I want to give you five principles that will help your marriage now. Five principles that will help your marriage now. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me give you the first principle. The principle is this. Determine to be what God wants you to be. Determine to be what God wants you to be. I know of no place in the Bible that would better express that than Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll begin reading with me in verse 22 through the end of the chapter, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You may look at that and say, well, preacher, that's not really specifically dealing with husbands and wives, and I would totally agree with you on that, but I'd have to say that there is no better passage that says what God wants me to be. Almost, if not all, the weddings I've ever performed in the years I've pastored, I've looked at them. I did it when Preston and Lindsay were married, they were here, and I think every marriage, not every one of them has practiced this, but every one of them I know of, I've said this. I've looked to one or the other, and I said, the greatest gift you can give him is be exactly what God wants you to be. If you'll be exactly what God wants you to be, he'll never want for another wife. I look at him and say, and the greatest gift you can give her is be exactly what God wants you to be. If you'll be exactly what God wants you to be, she'll never want for a different husband. Be what God determined. I want to be what God wants me to be. Now, right there, we'll lose half the people. Because it's, you know, there's a difference in what you want. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, more than one time, my wife and I have been sitting at the house, and I'm tired. I've been out doing things all day. I got home, took the shoes off, the feet prop up on the coffee table. You know, once the feet are on the coffee table, that's like the day's done. Yes? They're not going to come down off the coffee table, but you're hungry, and you're sitting here and say, you know what? I'm really itching for? I'm itching for a big boy. And no, I hardly ever do that. But I'm itching for a big boy. And she said, you want to go get one? And I don't. I mean, I want one, but I don't want one bad enough to go get one. Y'all understand what I'm talking about, right? Boy, I'd love to have one of these. All you gotta do is get in the car and go get it. Well, that's too much. And there are people today, and you say, okay, preacher, it's a simple statement. Be what God wants me to be. Desire to be what God wants me to be. Yes, I desire that. How bad? How bad? There's things that we want. And there's things like the old missionary who said, God, give me souls or I die. And if I take those two, I have a casual desire to be, you know, if I could take a pill, preacher, and be what God wants me to be, then that's what I would do. There's that want. And then there's the want, God, give me souls or I die. And when I make the statement, the first thing you've got to decide to do, and by the way, that's not just an idle statement, folks. There are people, and I suspect even in this room, I don't know, But I suspect there's people in this room, and you know God wants you to read your Bible. You know God wants you to stay, show yourself approved. You would like to. You want to. You started to more than one time. It's just that you don't want it bad enough to seriously go after it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Even though we all say amen to that statement, say amening it and practicing it are two different things. Be what God wants you to be. And if you can get past that, then we begin to look at it. First thing, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, look in chapter 4 of Ephesians and look in verse 23. This is where it all stems from. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Now, we understand this involves Scripture, and I get that. The reading of Scripture, study to show thyself approved. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. We understand the Word of God is necessary for the renewing of the mind. It says this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It changes my spirit. Question. Would it help your marriage in certain situations if you went into something with a different spirit? You know it would. The spirit is always what causes the problems. She looks and she says, you don't love me. And rather than trying to reassure her, you say, would you stop that? Well, that's very reassuring. Oh, not that again. It's a spirit's what it is. And before I'm ever going to be what I need to be, I need to recognize I can't be what I'm supposed to be without the spirit being renewed, because this world drags on it. It pulls on it. This world is an anchor to a bad spirit and a bad attitude. And so that renewal has to take place. I read my Bible because my God wants me to, but I have learned that I need to read my Bible if I'm going to be able to go out and do warfare, and I'm able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked, and I have found out that my wife benefits me reading my Bible. It also renews our thinking. Look what it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. Has anybody ever been bothered about how you think about things in the particular situations you and your spouse find yourself in? I mean, that mind will keep you in a bad attitude. That mind can really raise up, and that mind can affect how you look at that person. It sure can. It's got to be renewed. And so the first point I would like you to know is, if you're going to have a right marriage, and we're going to talk about this for a while, we're not done with the point, but you need to determine to be what God wants you to be, but you'll never do that. You say, well, preacher, I want to be. I'm determined. I didn't say, do you want it? Are you determined to be? And if you are not daily in your Bible, look up here and don't miss this. I don't care what you say. You don't care that much. Did you hear me? You might as well look around at your spouse and say, I don't care what you say. You might as well look at your spouse and say, I'm sorry, I just don't care that much. I know that sounds ugly, but that's the ugly truth of it all. My goodness sakes, if I'm driving in a car and I'm running out of gas, it only makes sense to stop somewhere. And my wife says, honey, you need to get gas or we're going to run out of gas. And I pass another gas station. I just turn around to her and say, you know what, I know. I just really don't care that much. There'd be a good dose tonight, if there could be a good dose in husbands and wives and Christians' lives, if I want to be what God wants me to be. Yeah. Renewal is the key that for everything that I'm going to say that follows. What's he say? What are we supposed to be if that be the case in Ephesians 4? Well, first of all, honesty. Look what he says. He says, wherefore, put away lying. Now, honesty. You say, lying? I don't lie. I tell the truth. Oh, listen carefully and follow me with this. I would hope that most people here, their problem is not a bald-faced lie that your spouse tells the other. I would hope that would be the case. I hope that if she asks something, he asks something, you're honest and tell the truth. But there's another level of honesty that I think probably causes more problems than that. To be honest, first of all, you got to be honest with your God. Amen. Honest with your God. David committed adultery. We know that. And we also know that the baby was born, so it had to be several months. David lived with that thing, could have been anywhere from 12 months to even 18 months, even a little bit longer. He could have lived with that. God didn't move with Nathan right away. It was a child. That's what the Bible says. And so all along, David is taking his sacrifices of the temple. You think at any given point, the writer of Psalms that God didn't say something to? That God didn't deal with him some way, somehow? How many recognize that David for time is living in falsehood? He's living a lie. And the one he will not listen to, you got to be honest with your God. If you're going to read that Bible and that Bible's going to change you, you have to be willing to say, God, you're right, that's me. And that's a challenge, I'm telling you what. I have listened to so many people, I am so, I want to add another so to that. Tired of excuses and justification. I'm not saying that like I've arrived. If I sounded like that, forgive me. But I got to tell you, we're filled with it. Yes, I messed up there, but. You know what's beyond the but? A justification. It's not my fault. We can't just say, I'm wrong. Honey, I'm wrong, but when you get in that mood, no. Stop the but the mood. Just stop it. I'm wrong. Preacher, that wouldn't work. If I told her I was wrong, didn't tell her what was wrong with her, I mean, what good is that? But that's the way we think. I'm wrong. Well, preacher, she's wrong too. Well, then she needs to do the same thing, but you're not the one to make her do it. You see, our problem is we're not honest with our God. And can I tell you why we're not honest? Those that aren't honest with their God aren't honest with themselves. You got to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with your mate. Honesty is more than just telling the truth about things. Honesty is being willing to receive negatives about yourself. Here's an honest statement. You have negatives. Let's just let that soak in. You have negatives. And everybody sees them better than you do. And you're always getting mad when they point them out. Doesn't God ever point them out? Well, I listen to God, but you know, it's a different thing if I have to listen to you tell me. That would have worked real good in David's life, wouldn't it? Nathan says, thou art the man. Well, you know what? I could receive it if God said that, but not you. It just so happens God sent Nathan. And more than one time, God sends people. Matter of fact, you know what? God, one time, he sent a donkey. He sent a donkey to show a man exactly what he was. And that man was so angry. It's the funniest, it's one of the funniest things in the entire Bible. Balaam is there, and he keeps bumping Balaam into the wall, and he gets out, and he gets mad, and he starts beating the donkey. God says, okay, donkey, talk. The donkey starts talking. He said, why are you hitting me? And Balaam answered him. You know, if you smacked your dog and said, what are you doing that for? You'll say, well, I'll tell you why. There you go. Right? This guy is so angry, he doesn't even realize where he's at, and that's exactly where we're at often in our marriages. We're never considering us, never looking at us. It's always my argument, my complaint, my issue. And it's not honest. Can I tell you something? Your wife is not always wrong. Ladies, can I tell you something? Your husband isn't always wrong. Maybe most of the time, but not always. I had to put that in, okay? Honesty. Dishonest people make excuses. Dishonest people explain away guilt. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, I don't care what you meant. Just say what you meant. Just say I did wrong. That's confession. God, I know I did that, but there's extenuating circumstances. And God says, I don't really want to hear the extenuating circumstances. I just want to know, did you do wrong or not? It's that simple. And that is a core of honesty. Be willing to listen honestly. I wrote this down. Would you, Every one of us here need to learn to own our wrong. Own our wrong. I can't own it until I accept it. I can't own it until I quit excusing it. My wife will tell you, for years, that was a hard thing for me to do. It was a very hard thing for me to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And it took years and years, we'd talk, and said, you do this, and you know, she wouldn't fight. I'm not talking about fist fight or anything like that, but she wouldn't argue. She says, okay. And I would say, what do you mean, okay? You guys ever, does it ever bother you when she just says, okay? No, it's not okay. We're going to, no, right? The issue is I wasn't being honest. I wasn't sitting back and saying, you know, I need to look at myself. I told you before many years ago, and I don't like to bring these things up. I really, 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 really don't. Number one, because I don't like to hear them. I know she doesn't like to hear them. But years ago, and we were at a church where I got right with the Lord, and we were always going out with those couples, and nothing wrong necessarily going out with the couples, but we were always going there, and she said, can't we just go home and just us go home? And I was the social, you know, let's go, and we'll go here for a little while, and end up being all night, and you know, and we'd leave and get home late and then go to bed and so on. And one time she says, you must not really care to talk to me. No, I enjoy talking to you. Then why do we always go over somebody else's house? Why can't we just go home by ourselves? And for the first time in my life, look up here and listen, everyone. I say the first time, maybe it wasn't, but it's one that really hits me. For the first time in my life, I decided not look at it the way I looked at it. I decided to look at it the way she looked at it. And I thought, I know I love her. I know it's inside me. But I sure understand now. I see what she says. I can see where she's getting what she says. And you know what? That was a first level, if you would, of honesty in my life. Where I sat back and I've got to really evaluate what she said. Most of the time, folks, we don't even hear what the other person says. We're so quickly ready to, we're like a baseball. They pitch it to us and all we're trying to do is swing and knock it out of the park. We're not even giving consideration to it. Look, she might be right. Hey, he might be right. And the truth is our stinking pride can't stand the idea that I'm wrong. I've been saying she's wrong so long, I really hate the idea of saying, you know, I've been wrong. Honesty. If you don't have honesty, you don't have what the relationship is built upon. Honesty. Be willing to listen honestly. Own your wrong. Accept your wrong. Apologize. And then work on change. If you question whether you're wrong, you say, well, preacher, sometimes it's just, and I really don't see it. Fine. Then at least agree to prayerfully consider it. Rather than say you're wrong, you know, listen, you know what? I don't see that, but we've done that many times, have we not? Where she'll say, you know what? I'll pray about it. What more can I ask? But can I tell you this? A good comeback to that would be for me to say, you know what? Maybe I'm not the one seeing it right. I'll pray about it too. Somehow or another in our home, we both think that we've got 20/20 vision, and there's only one person in this universe that has 20/20 vision of my marriage, and that's God Almighty. And He has 20/20 vision of me and 20/20 vision of her. And there's times where we can't agree. We're going to have to say, we're going to have to go to our God. You go and talk to Him, and I'll go and talk to Him. We'll spend some time. And you know, more than one time, I've come back and said, you know, I think I was just a little overreactive on that. There have been times she'd come back and say, you know what? I prayed about it. You're right. But it requires honesty. The book sitting in your lap will do you no good until you're honest. Quit lying to one another. What does He want me to be? He wants me to be honest. I'll tell you something else He wants me to do. He wants me to let go of unresolved issues. How many times does it say, look what it says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. How about this, in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Just let it. There's so many couples that can't get along because one or both will not let go of old unresolved issues. The first statement I hear when I say that is, but you have no idea how big this issue was to me. Well, can I say this? There are some things you have to leave with God. Trust with Him. Trust Him to reveal it or expose it or do something with it. Deal with your spouse. If you're going to let go of something, I'll give you a real simple way. I don't know how many, I don't even want to have the raising of hands. We say there's something sitting in my craw, and every time that we try to work things out, it always comes up, and it's in the past somewhere, and I know that. Then look, listen. Like, can I tell you how to let something go? Live in the present. That's all you got to do is live in the present. You're the one. You're living in the past. It's an unresolved issue, but it's unresolved. And by living there, you're not going to get it fixed. Sometimes you just got to let it go and let God. And live in the present. Amen, amen, and amen. What I found is this. My wife and I found that some things really, there's things that are not worth fighting over. But if we keep picking at it, those will be the things that make the big deals. Do we have? No, I'm not going to ask that. I guarantee we've got them here. This is a very disgusting term, but I call them scab pickers. Anyone know what a scab picker is? Once it heals up, you scratch it again. Once it heals up, you scratch it again. Pick the scab off. And all you end up doing is creating a scar. You have no idea what would heal if you just leave it over to God, let Him take care of it. And you'd have no idea what would reveal if you just turn it over to God, let Him take care of it. Amen. Over in the Old Testament, there was that case in the Old Testament. It's extreme, so forgive me, but it is the Bible. And there's a man, he has a jealous running through him with his wife, wondering if she's been faithful or not. And she said, no, I've been faithful to you. It's in the law. He says, if you can't get over that jealousy, he said, they got to go to the temple or tabernacle. And they go to the tabernacle, and the priest takes that woman in, sits her down inside, and sits down and takes the mix-up concoction with the dust off of the floor of the tabernacle, the dirt. I said, drink this. And it was so that if she drank it and everything was fine, she was innocent. But if she drank it and it started intestinal problems and her bowels fell out and she died, she was guilty. Can I ask you a question? Who revealed that? You think the dirt in that floor revealed that? Do you think that mixture and concoction she drank revealed that? How many agree? No, that was God that revealed that. When it comes to issues that are unresolved, can you just let them go and let God? You might find that that spouse, that wife, or that husband might come and say, listen, I need to talk to you. Years ago, an individual took something from me long, long time ago and made me mad. And I was angry for a time, but I decided the anger was just me. I mean, listen, you know, there's nothing that'll ruin your spirit more than to read politics. Isn't that the truth? Has anybody ever chewed out Joe Biden in their car? Nancy Pelosi? Yes. I have told them what for more than one time. Has anybody ever got a fight with them in your car? And I got to tell you, there's been more than one time that I've said, God, this is not right. It is not right for my head to go here, and it's not right for my thinking to go here. This is just putting a bad spirit in me. I just need to let it go. You want to fix your, you want to improve your marriage right now? Number one, be honest. That's what God wants you to be. And number two, let go of unresolved issues. You have to live in the present. In the present. Don't make the old stalemate. That's what they are. You know what a stalemate? Anybody ever play chess? You know what a stalemate is? It's a draw. No winner, no loser. Don't let the old stalemate become the litmus paper of you guys getting right, moving on, and doing something for God. Let me give you this. Thirdly, if I could tell you this. Be careful in anger. Ephesians 4:26, look what it says. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be careful in anger. Anger is a dangerous thing. Don't allow anger to bring your right conduct to a halt. You know what happens. You get angry? When you react in anger, boy, it's not healthy, it's not good. When you speak in anger, it's not healthy, it's not good. We always talk about time out for the kids. Sometimes I think we had time out for the adults. Take a breather. Sit on it a while. You say, why? Because I need to come back. My speech needs to be right, so I don't need to react in anger. It is not your spouse's fault. Anger? Oh, you make me so mad. No. Don't you blame that on your spouse. That's your weakness. Are we okay? You know what? If you don't have a rule over your own spirit, don't blame that on somebody else. Just learn to take something. Learn to take it. Learn to endure it. Don't get angry. Well, it's easier for you to say. You'd be surprised what you could do if you'd ask God for grace. Amen, amen. You know what it is? It's ruling your own spirits what it is. It's interesting that when he says that. It's interesting when he says that we're not to be angry. Look in verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Semicolon. Neither give place to the devil. It's interesting that verse 27 is there. Why? Because the devil will certainly be at your ear when you're angry. Am I right? The devil will certainly give you all sorts of unrighteous arguments when you're angry. Anger is a very vulnerable place to be. So he says, you know what? Be very careful in anger. Yeah. When you're cooking pasta on the stove and you have to go move it to pour it in, what they call it, a colander, and you pour it in there to drain it. And you know that you have water in there, that if you pour it on you, spill it on you, it is going to scald you in second degree and possibly third degree burns. And you're walking carefully because you know how precarious the situation is. When you're angry, it's just as precarious. Walk away. You know what I've decided? You know, I found out, maybe this is not you, but I found out that I want to do right and I want to be a good husband and I want to do everything I'm supposed to be until I get angry. I want to open the door for my wife. Jake and I, we fight over it. We do. Well, not fight, but we do. All right. Who can open the door for her? And she'll say, thank you, my Prince Charming. And if I win, I look at him and go like this. And he says, whatever. And we have that game. Not this way anymore, but it is now. It used to be, but I was wrong, and I decided one time, because when you get angry, you don't want to do what's right. Come on. When you get angry, you don't want to do what's right. And I thought, Lord, you want me to be something, and it's not right that I step away from that just because I got angry. God, by your grace, I'm going to do right whether I'm angry or not. You're here and you're not even married. That'll help you. I'm going to do right. Even if I get angry, I'm going to do right, because I'm not going to let Satan say, why do you even bother with that? Why even do that? That's Satan. And I let him win. No, I'm going to do right. Anger is not going to stop me from being what God wants me to be. By the grace of God, it's not going to stop me. Let me give you another one out of our text, and I'm not going to get everything done tonight. Render unto one another due benevolence. 1 Corinthians 7 says that, you know, render unto the wife due benevolence, and wife, you render unto the husband due benevolence, and so on. And we understand the context of all that, but you know what benevolence means, actually? It means well-being and kindness. There are things God says you owe each other. Where do you get that? Look, if you would, in verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, I'm not saying that you've stole out of your wife's purse or she stole out of your wallet or anything like that. But stealing is taking something that rightly belongs to somebody else. And in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, you render unto your wife due benevolence. And it goes on and says, defraud not one another. You know what defrauding is? Defrauding is stealing something that belongs to somebody else. You know what God said? He says, sir, there's things, and they're rightfully your wife. Do not steal them from her. And benevolence, he calls it in 1 Corinthians, benevolence. You know what benevolence is? Hey, guys, it's just being nice. God said, can't you just be kind? I have to tell you, a lot of times I think the problem that raises up in marriage is we guys just never learn to talk nice. We talk gruff, or we talk, you know, wife is upset over something. And so what's wrong? Well, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not really that big of a deal. You need to, don't even worry about that. Don't. And really all they're wanting is they want someone to come put their arm around them, hold them. Kind. Kindness. He said, you owe that to your, that belongs to her. Make sure you give it to her. Hey, ladies, it also says that those guys, they've got due benevolence. I don't know if I'm going to get to it this evening or not. I probably won't. So I just want to throw it out here right now, okay? You know, I think one thing that we need to learn to do in our marriages, we need to learn to be what the other one needs. I wrote down, wherever that point is in my notes, I wrote down, I said, whoever said, never change yourself for anybody, they were either divorced or single. No one married in their right mind believes that. Matter of fact, the greatest gift you can give someone, I'm going to be true to myself, then be it alone. Don't drag somebody else into that, okay? The greatest example of changing for the sake of somebody else is Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant. You say, why? Because you and I needed him to. I just think there's a great truth, and I seek to be that. And I have to say, my wife seeks to be that to me. What does he need? What does he need me to? Doesn't the Bible say that she's my helpmeet? She looks and says, what does he need me to be? I've joked before. I don't joke. I told you it's true. I'm so bad. I feel I'm trying to get away from the idea that I put a 2x4 up and I want her to praise me for it. I really am trying to get away from that some, because I've realized I'm such a big baby. But you know what she'd do? I'd put a 2x4 up and I'd say, honey, come here. And she'll look at a 2x4. And she'll say, my, that's a good 2x4. You know what she's doing? She's being what I need her to be. She's needing what I need. And you know what? She needs me to be something towards her. She has needs as a lady. She has needs as an individual. Can I tell you what every lady wants? A woman wants to be desired. And she was when you dated her, guys. Somehow after you're married, you lost that, didn't you? You know what he said? He said, render unto them their due benevolence. There's some things you owe your wife. There's some things that belong to her. Make sure you give it to her. There's some things that belong to him. Make sure you give it to him. And I'm telling you stuff right now that if I gave out the 5 list of the worst things that go on in marriage in 30-some years of counseling, these have been it. Can't you just be nice? Be tender? Be sweet? Oh, I've cut my finger here. Let's see. Oh, that's nothing. You little crybaby, you. Well, that just endears people right there. That's the sweetest stuff. Well, preacher, it wouldn't hurt me. You're not her. And I'm not trying to make her out to be a baby or anything like that. I'm just saying, I don't know what you... Well, what does my wife need? If you have to ask me that, you have bigger problems than I can fix in this service. And number two, you're asking the wrong guy, because I have no idea. I know my wife. You should know yours. Render them due benevolence. Wife, you owe your husband support. He needs that from you. Guys just like to have a pat on the back. Guys like to think they did something good. They like to think they're strong. They like to think that they're good at something or they did well. Guys love praise. And before any guy here just piously says, well, not me, preacher, I don't know. Hush. We all like it. Maybe too much. But ma'am, you need to be what your guy needs, because that's what God wants you to be. And sir, your wife needs to feel like you want her, like you love her. Matter of fact, the Bible says it like this: husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I need to park it here for a couple of minutes, okay? It is really a pet peeve of mine. Guys, would you stop this? I have no one in mind, okay? But I've seen it through the years, and I really get tired of it. Would you stop coming in while your wife is still working her way in? I bet you didn't forget your wallet in the car, did you? Oh, but your wallet's more important than she is, right? Would you quit walking in front of her because you're saying that she's not much? If there's something you honor, you treat it like you honor her. Quit treating her like an old mop. If she has value, treat her like she has value. If somehow you don't think, somehow in your head, she doesn't have that value, then work on yourself. Because God said, if you found a wife, you found a good thing. Go argue with him. That's why I opened the door for my wife. The way some men treat their wives, can I be honest? I have to say, they must not be much. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I have old gloves in my garage that I clean my car, I work on my car and change the oil and stuff like that with. You might find in my toolbox, you might find them under my toolbox, you might find one in my toolbox and one on the ground. Well, you don't treat theirs very well, they're an old glove. I don't want to treat my wife that way. I go somewhere and my plans change. I don't know that I ever go out somewhere, I don't call you eventually. Why? Just want to call her. Hi, how you doing? We just touch base. You say, why? We like to touch base with each other. We like that. Wouldn't be bad for you to go out and buy her a new dress. Honey, would you forget that I said that, please? I do. Can I tell you what I do? I've told you enough of bad things I've done, okay? So can I tell you what I do? I never carry money. I'll take that back. I asked her for $50 the other day, and I have the change in my pocket. I have $5. I have $6 in my pocket. Other than that, I never have money in my pocket. I don't have money. You come to me, I'll see you to her. You say, why? Because we keep some out of our check every week, and I want her to keep some out that is just money for her to spend. I want to go spend it on something. Go ahead, spend it on something. You say, why? She enjoys that. I want her to do it. And by the way, do I ever ask you to spend it on me? No. I don't want her to spend on me. I want her to spend on her. Say why? Because she's valuable to me. I'm just talking about some things to help your marriage. Help them a whole lot. Some of these things that help your relationships, no matter who you are. Render unto the wife due benevolence. Look in verse 29 real fast. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let your speech be a building tool. Look what it says. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My speech is to be a building tool. Here's a question. Is it corrupt speech he warns us about? If it's corrupt speech, then what was it corrupted by? Let no corrupt communication. So if it's corrupt communication, what was it corrupted by? Can I give you one thing that corrupts it? Anger. Would you agree? Anger really kind of throws... Listen, man, you're working in construction. I built that house over there, and more than one time you had a fit getting, I was putting up drywall on the ceiling by myself before I even knew there was lifts, for drywall. I was kicking a T-piece in and put it in, so on like that, and it wasn't easy. And you keep trying to drop, or you keep trying to start to fall, and you finally get so angry that you're not building anything anymore. Anybody here ever have a hammer and you're trying to build something and you keep bending the nail and you finally get mad and you start beating the 2x4? Me neither. All right, yes, that's right. You know where I'm getting at. You know what I'm getting at. I'm getting to the point that it gets so frustrating. You're no longer building. You're tearing up. And my communication is to be a building tool. It's to be giving grace to someone, to minister grace. You can do it. Listen, I know you messed up there. I know we messed up here, but you know what? We can get past this. When I'm done talking to someone, I want them to feel encouraged. It doesn't always happen, but I'm bothered when it doesn't. Even if I have to be negative, when it's all said and done, I want them to know I can get beyond this. For years, I've practiced with my kids. If I have to correct them, I correct them. Then I reinforce my love to them. You say, why? Because I don't want the last thing they walk away from Dad being I corrected them. And I want them to think, you know what? I want them to learn that bad things happen, mistakes happen, sins happen. But when I get beyond them, the Father restores the relationship because He wants to restore the relationship. I don't have to beg for it. I don't have to go after it. I don't have to plead for it. And you know what? Too many of us grew up in homes where that was the case. And we messed up. It was the silent treatment, or I'm not going to talk to you for a while. And it was, I had to endure this time before it was restored. And I'm the one that says, no, you come here. Because when they grow up and they have their own walk with God, I want them to understand that God, how does God act? Well, I hope I've acted a little bit something like God would act. So they say, you know what He said? If I confess my sins, and I remember Dad, once we got it right, He's the one that embraced me. I want that to be a common understanding to them. I want my speech to be a building tool. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let your words be seasoned. It may minister grace unto the hearer. My wife told me many years ago, she said, you can be so diplomatic that people aren't really sure they got cut. And I probably was extreme on that, honestly. But it was from the fear that my words were going to cut and leave someone bleeding. It was my fear that I was going to discourage someone, and I could do it, and I don't want to be that way, especially with my wife. You ever have a disagreement about something or begin to get honest with each other about something and you just can't seem to stop? And all of a sudden, what was going to be a building session ended up being a tearing down because we decided to fix every single problem we had in one sitting. You need to evaluate, and I need to evaluate our conversation. I don't want it to be corrupted by anger. That's one of the things it gets corrupted by. I got to hurry, and I really do have to hurry. I said, determined to be what God wants you to be. Quit trying to change the other person. How's that one? Quit trying to change the person. I could do more on the last. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Yeah. That's what He wants us to be. Now, I said all that, and I'm going to ask you before we move on, and I'm going to have to finish up here pretty quick, but now that I've told you some things He wants us to be, how many would say, I really want to be what God wants me to be? Now, you know, I got to tell you, I get so tired of hearing people say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be what God... Well, then just be it and do it. We still really start getting down the nuts and the bolts of what God wants me to be. I'm going, ugh. You say, why? Because me to be that, I've got to die. What God wants me to be is not what I am. What God wants you to be is not what you are. And to be what He wants you to be, you have to die. And I don't want to die. So that first question is a huge question. Do you really want to be what God wants you to be? If you do, then husbands, you're going to love your wives even as Christ loved the church, and you're going to give them honor, and you're going to watch that communication, that no corrupt communication comes out of your mouth, and you're going to watch when anger comes up, because that's the one thing that seems to really corrupt our communication. And wives, you're going to follow and support Him. You're going to do those things, and I hear this but coming up. You know what the but is? The but is your way of saying, I don't know that I want to be what God wants me to be. But I will tell you this, there are rewards to it. Aren't there? There are rewards to it. There'll be rewards to it. It's not a magic. It's not a magic potion few have. It's God's word. It's His offer to His children. And if we follow it, it will work in our home. I wrote this down. I only given you one point. Believe me, all that was under decide to be what God wants you to be. The second is quit trying to change the other person. I have an example. You go to a restaurant, they have a plain burger and a deluxe burger, which has mayo, pickle, onions, and lettuce and tomato. You ask them, you order the deluxe, and you say, would you hold the mayo and the pickle, also the lettuce, the onions, upset my stomach, I don't want those either. Oh, and tomatoes caused me to break out. Then why didn't you just order a plain? It's amazing how we find someone, oh, you're everything I wanted, and then once we get married, oh, would you change here? I need them to change there. I changed. Then why didn't you pick something else? The fact is, we've all done it. Sonia thought she was getting something else. Why are you laughing at that? That's probably true, or at least that's probably true in most marriages. You never really know someone until you live with them. Then once you live with them, you're going, so this is what I pulled. So this was my straw. Amen. But you know what? If I will seek to be what God wants me to be, and she will seek to what God wants her to be, that which she may say, you know what, that's not really what I thought he was, but I'll become what she needs and she'll become what I need. But see, I can't change her. She can't change me. She's tried. No, I can't say that. You never really did. You never really tried. You knew from the beginning you couldn't change somebody else. There's only one person in this room you can change, and that's you. So why don't you work on you? Oh, because he has so many. Yeah, I get it. I understand. So why don't you work on you, mister? Well, because she has so many. You know, that's the problem. The problem is you're looking at each other's homework. Why don't you get your eyes off of her homework and get your eyes on your homework? And vice versa. Why don't you be what God wants you to be and quit worrying about whether he is or not? Why don't you be what God wants you to be and quit worrying about whether she is or not? Just work on what you're supposed to be. Oh, but preacher, it's so hard. Go talk to the one that told you this, not me. I understand he gives grace, and you have no idea what the impact can be when you'll seek to be what God wants you to be. And the core of that is I need to change me. Quit trying to change each other. Just love each other. And love each other by changing yourself. Newsflash. You might sit back and say, well, you know what? He's not what I thought he was. Newsflash, you're not what he thought you were either. Can we say we both surprised each other? You know what the solution is? I'm going to look at what God has told me to be and begin my journey of change. Let me give you a third thing real fast. Change yourself into what the other person needs. I've really already discussed this. I'm not going to go through it. Change yourself into what the other person needs. I look at my wife. What does she need? I need to be what she needs. You're a wife. You have a husband. You need to be what he needs. And I can't tell you how much ground that covers. I cannot tell you how much ground that covers. We have a whole lot of it's my life within our marriages. The fact is I want, honestly, I'll dress up and I'll look and I'll say, honey, how do you think I look? It's not for you, it's for her. Sometimes she'll look and she said, that looks really sharp. And I'm glad I made her happy. I have a beard on my face. I first grew it because I wanted to. I keep it because she wants it. I'd shave it off tomorrow. It'd shock you all. I first grew it because it made me look older and I had a baby face, all right? Now that it's gray, I'm thinking I can shave it and lose 10 years. That's what I'm aiming for, right? But she doesn't want me to do that, and so I keep it. Why? Her. It's her. I'm just trying to be what she needs me to be. I'm just trying to practice what Jesus. You know what Jesus is? Jesus has been exactly what I've needed. And that's what I need to be. Ladies, you need to look at your husband and say, what does he need? Am I everything he needs me to be? Because that's what God called me. And within the your power and within the grace of God, you say, God, help me. Because I really want to be what he wants me to be. What he needs. I want to fulfill his needs. We all know what it's like to want to fulfill the needs of a child. A child doesn't want Walmart specials. They want Nike or another brand, and they're far more expensive, but inside you're thinking, you know, I'm going to do it because it's my child. How much more your spouse? How much more your spouse? Quit trying to change yourself, or quit trying to change the other. Change yourself and change yourself into what your spouse needs. Fourthly, and I'm just about done, fourthly, Change your needs into what's right. You see, there's a counter to change yourself into what the other person needs. Look up here and listen. Change yourself into what the other person needs. So your wife has needs. Well, husband, you need to try to be that. Your husband has needs. Well, wife, you need to be that. But as the individual with the need, I need to change my needs into what are right. I have a responsibility to sit back and say, God, am I being selfish here? God, am I being self-centered here? You know what I've learned is I've learned that what I need to do is I need to not get my way so much. Would you not agree if I was all absorbed with the idea of getting my way, then she's going to wear herself out trying to be what I need? So there's a certain responsibility as a spouse. I got to say, God, help me not to be needy. Help me to learn to give and not expecting to receive. And once again, I have said for years, I have talked about my negatives, and you all know them, the whole world knows them. And so I don't feel bad in saying this, and I'm going to call my wife to testimony. How often do I say, I need this or want that? Seldom. You say, why? Because I'm trying to learn to not want. I think it's the core of being content. And I need to be content because there's one in my world that I want to fulfill the need of. And so I don't want her running around just trying to take care of my needs. Well, he wants it this way, he wants it that way. Honey, the water boiled out and it burned a little bit. And I said, well, we'll have smoky meat then, that's fine. That's okay, no problem. At the same time, she's saying, what does he need? What does he want from me? Hey, ladies, if he comes home from work or he comes home and if he likes the place spick and span, then work on that. Work on that. Hey, guys, if she'd like to go out to dinner once a week, maybe you can't afford that, but you can. Why don't you do that? She needs that. Take her out and buy her a dress. Do something. You know what we do? We always retreat to the corners of our needs and criticize the other that we're not fulfilling. Why don't we start fulfilling the other's needs? And what I've got to do as one that's needy is, God, help me to look at my needs. Am I being unreasonable here? And I can be, and you can be too. I'm going to go over these real quick. I'm going to give you the last one. We're going to go over them. The last thing I would say, let me give you an illustration on that last point. You've heard me talk about a lot of times I'll sit with Jake and I'll be sitting there and I'll say, Jake, I said, it's this bad. It is this bad. I'm sitting there and I say, Jake, and I'll look at him. He'll go, ice water. It's that bad. And I said, would you care? He said, no. And he's glad to do it. And he's always been glad to do it. And one time he was sitting in the living room. He said, Dad, would you get me some ice water? And I said, I sure will, son. I still do that, but I'm trying to watch how much. You say, why? Because you know why I do it? Because I just don't want to get up. Are we okay? You know what that is? That's selfish. Now, sometimes I'm really tired and I'd appreciate someone to do it, but sometimes it's just I can get somebody else to do it, and that's not good. I need to change that. I'm sitting there, we've had dinner, I'm looking in, the kitchen has got sick and the dishes in and stuff like that, and I'll say, I'll get up sometimes, and I don't do it a lot, I don't, but I'll get up sometimes and I'll help her and I'll clean the table and stuff like that. You say, why? Because sitting there is selfish. If we could just get rid of selfishness out of our homes, things would be much better. It's all about me, it's all about my world. No, it's not. It's about the other. And so I gave you these things. I said, determine to be what God wants you to be. I said, quit trying to change the other person, but change yourself into what the other person needs. And then the other person, change your needs in what is right. Don't just be this needy person all the time. And the last thing I'll give you is this. Listen. Listen. I don't care what it is. Listen. My wife likes things like, quilts. She likes quilts. So she wants to talk about quilts. In all honesty, quilts are not the highest point of things that interest me. I'm being honest. She knows that. I mean, she did. Can we talk about quilts again? But she's heard me plenty of times talk about cars and engines and stuff that she has literally no interest in whatsoever. Is it that big of a deal, guys? I'm not saying just sit there and have your eyes glaze over. Are you hearing me? Quilts, 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 yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know what? Listen, listen, listen. She's interested in this. God help me to be interested in this. Ladies will say, you know, well, he likes this, but I just really don't care for it, and I'm not interested in it. It's not about what you're interested in. Would you get your eyes off you? Preacher, I don't even understand cars. Then just smile while he talks about them. You know what? I think one of the greatest, and I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, and I hate it. I'm always got my mind to go somewhere and do something and so on like that. But I think one of the greatest compliments you can give someone is listen to them. And if I don't do well anywhere else, I want to do well with that lady right back there. I want to listen. I want to listen to her complaints. I want to listen to her worries. I want to listen to when she talks to about, could you do this or could you do that or would you do something for me? And you know, I'm not trying to gripe. No, please talk. I want to hear this. My dear friend, if you got to the place where they say, can I say something without you getting angry? You sure can. Please talk. I want to hear it. Why do we live there? We live there because you know what really sums up the problem with our marriages? Self-centeredness. And if we could get every person in this room to say, God, give me victory over self, our homes would be different. Well, preacher, I'll give up self-centeredness if he... No, there's no if he. That's self. He may not, but you need to give up. She may not, but you need to give it up. Why? Because it's what God wants you to be. I wish to goodness I could get couples just to say, I really want to be what my spouse wants me to be for their sake. For their sake. I wish I could get people to do that. I really want to be. We've been married 43 years. I don't know how much more time that we have on this globe. I think I've got a long time, but nobody knows. Whether the Lord comes and gets us or an accident happens or something. But whether it be 43 years or whether it be 50 years or whether it be 60 years, whatever it may be, not for my glory, but because I just want this. I can't explain it. I want her to look and say, if I could do it all over again, I'd say I do to you. And she wants me to look and say, if I could do it all over again, I'd say I do to you. And I would. That ought to be our drive. If you'd follow these five steps and just go home and study them, you'll find out it'll help your home, it'll help your marriage, it'll help your relationship. There may be some hurdles and difficulties, but when you have to talk things out, please, please, don't allow your communication to go corrupt. And if it does, just back away and say, listen, I'm struggling right now. Let me pray about it. Let me step away. You'd be surprised what God would do for you. You'd be surprised what God would do for your home. Listen, let's everybody go out. I want everybody to ask yourself this question. We're going to pray. Ask yourself this question. Is there somewhere in your life, I'm talking to every wife, I'm talking to every husband right now, is there somewhere in your life and you know you're not being what you should be to your spouse? Or you know you're not being what your spouse needs? And could you bow your head tonight and say, God, please help me. I want to be that. I want to implement these 5 points because I want to finish strong. I want to finish with joy. I want to finish I've seen couples, they got married, they lived their life, and when they were, they slept in separate bedrooms, and they were kind of two people that cohabitated the same house. I don't want that. I married a sweetheart, and when I die, I want to say goodbye to a sweetheart. I'm just talking, son. I'm not dying, okay? I want to say goodbye to my sweetheart. Take some work, but I tell you what, the work is rewarding. Let's bow our heads, please. Such a lesson or such a message is too touchy to say, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to. But I do pray within your heart if you say, God, please, if maybe one of these areas, the Spirit of God said, that's you, lady, that's you, mister. I do hope that you'll find some areas, say, God, help me to be. Help me to be what He needs me to be. I hope there's some guys say, God, help me to be what she needs me to be. After all, you have been what I need. Help me to be that to the one that I'm sharing my life with. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for marriage. Thank you for my wife. You said if you found a wife, you found a good thing, and certainly I have. I think I got the better end of the deal, Lord. But as I get older, I really want to... when it comes to this thing of marriage, I want to finish strong. I do. I want to enjoy each other. I want to fellowship with each other. I love the mornings with coffee. I love the commune. And Lord, I'm just as guilty of many of these things through the years as anybody else I'm talking to. I know what it's like for anger to turn my communication, corrupting it. I don't want that. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, I can't change anybody but me. I've spent years, I guess, trying to make sure everybody else becomes what they're supposed to be, and have ignored me, and I don't want to do that. I want to be what I should be. And I pray every person, first of all, would say, God, I want to be what you want me to be in every single aspect of my life. And Lord, if you'll do that in our hearts, and if you'll get that response from us, then this has not been a wasted night. And bless as we go home, Lord. Bless each. And Lord, there are people here that are not married, and I know that there was primary to marriage, but Lord, there's some relational things. I pray they're taking something away home tonight, Father. And bless as we depart. Give us a great week for your glory. Give us victory over the flesh. Help us to be a witness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Good night.